الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected علماء الكرام, students of deen, brothers and elders, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions the maqasid and the objectives of the nubuwwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala has greatly favored the believers, that Allah Ta'ala sent among them a messenger. And what is the duty and what does this messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala do? So yatlu alayhim ayati, that he recites the ayat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to them. The explanations that have been given of this, one explanation in Ruhul Maani, and Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has related this as well, that this refers to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the ayat of Tawheed and Risalat to the kuffar and inviting them to Allah Ta'ala. So this was da'wat. So yatlu alayhim ayatihi referred to the da'wat that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to call people to Allah Ta'ala by means of the recitation of the Quran Sharif to them, the ayat of the Quran Sharif. And then the second aspect is yuzakkihim, he purified them. Purified them from all the filth of shirk and all the evils of kufr. And then thereafter the aspects of all the sins and vices. So the aspect of tazkiyah. And then wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah, this is referring to the ta'aleem of the Quran Sharif, of the Hadith Sharif. So these are the maqasid of Nubuwwat. And this is the legacy that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. Alhamdulillah, the Ummah latched on to this. And it is the barakah of all the efforts over the ages, throughout the centuries, that today we are seated here taking the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It was over the ages, the da'wat that was given, the ta'aleem that took place, and the tazkiyatun nufus, the effort of the self-reformation that took place. And in every era this continued. There was never a time when this stopped and completely, otherwise deen would not have continued. So in every era this continued, but what we see that in the last 1.5-2 centuries, that the manner in which our akabir, the ulama of Dioban, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala elevate their stages, the manner in which they took this on, and the legacy that they then passed on, that was something that is rare to find in a collective manner, this mission that was taken on. That with all these aspects of deen, the da'wat of deen, ta'aleem and ta'allum, and the aspect of tazkiyah, extent to which all this was brought to a point where it was rare to find it in this collective manner in maybe centuries. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, there's one statement of his which is very well known, that where he is reported to have said, the statement that he made, that لَا يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ أَوَّلُهَا, that the latter part of this ummah will never be reformed, will never gain the right direction, except in the same manner that the first part of the ummah gained this. The first part of the ummah were the Sahaba-e-Kiram. And the Sahaba-i-Kiram, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? The same thing that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the ayat of the Quran Sharif. So obviously this is what he did. This is the method of bringing them to Allah Ta'ala that he put into place with the da'wat, with ta'aleem, and with tazkiyah. So now this is what happened in the first part of the ummah. And this is the prescription that Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says. It's only the same method by which the first part of the ummah gained that islah, gained that rectification, gained that reformation. They got connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is that same method, that same prescription that will work, and only that prescription that will work for the latter part of the ummah. We are the latter part, and whoever else will still come. So now on the one side is, mashallah, the effort of da'wat, alhamdulillah. As much as it's taking place, it's still less, obviously. But Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan, that this effort has spread throughout the world. And by means of da'wat, alhamdulillah, the spirit of iman is coming alive. And people who are far away from deen are coming closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this has to be continued and enlivened even more. Then together with that, mashallah, the effort of ta'aleem, as much as it is taking place, it is still very less, especially in the line of makatib. So mashallah, there's an ever-increasing number of makatib in our country, but if we really go to see, that too is still very, very much less compared to what is required. Every now and again, there's a new area that is discovered somewhere or the other, where there's a good number of Muslims residing, but there's no arrangement for the ta'lim of the children. So, mashallah, whatever is taking place is tremendous, but there's still need for much, much more. But alhamdulillah, the efforts of the ulama-i-kiram, that more makatib are being established, and ever more darul ulooms are being established for even greater amount of students to acquire the knowledge of deen at a higher level, and to become ulama-i-kiram. So these are all the great favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And especially in our country, this is very glaring compared to most parts of the world. That to the extent that we have this freedom to be able to continue without any hindrance with the work of da'wat and with the effort of ta'aleem, this is something very difficult to find in many parts of the world. So in any case, mashallah, this is taking place and Allah continues even more. But then together with this, as we understood from the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that there were three things that were among the maqasid of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was da'wat, and ta'aleem was also included, and there was this aspect of a yuzakkihim. That Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he purified them. And this branch of tazkiyah is also right in the middle of these two aspects, da'wat and tazkiyah and ta'aleem in this particular ayat. So now this aspect of tazkiyah, we have become somewhat familiar with the term tazkiyah. We hear it now much more than we probably heard it before, that it is spoken about, it is mentioned in bayans, it is discussed in informal gatherings sometimes. There's a greater awareness compared to what probably was there maybe 10, 20 years ago. But just as, mashallah, ta'aleem is on the increase, but there's still much more to do. Da'wat is taking place, alhamdulillah, to a good extent, but there's very much more to do. But tazkiyah is, alhamdulillah, taking place, but if each one of us searches within ourselves, we'll find that we are all, illa mashallah, the special servants of Allah Ta'ala. But starting off with myself, we are far, far away from where we should be. That sometimes it's just a concept, it's just some understanding of some theory that there's something called tazkiyah. But what is this tazkiyah all about? This tazkiyah is truly, this is the soul. This is what blows life in everything. And if this tazkiyah is taken out of the equation, then either things will become just a lifeless routine, I'll carry on, but like a lifeless routine. Allah forbid, corruption will set in. At the best case, it will just become a lifeless routine. And then things don't stay at one level. When things don't stay at one level, it's either going to obviously go up or down without this very important and fundamental aspect of tazkiyah, it's obviously going to slide. Now, what is this tazkiyah? This is such a vast topic. But just to understand it in the few minutes that we have left, in the light of some incidents, because mashallah, incidents have the way in which things are understood easily through an incident is difficult to explain it in some other manner. So now what we are going to just try to understand in the light of some incidents of the pious predecessors, incidents of our Akabir, that this path of tazkiyah, what it does to a person. Now what it does to a person, so now for example, the most fundamental thing in any aspect of deen, in a mu'min's life, is the aspect of ikhlas. That if ikhlas is out of the equation, then the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that way he used to, once when narrating the hadith, just as he started, he fell unconscious, unable to continue, and then again started and fell unconscious. This had such a effect on him. The third time then, or the fourth time, he then managed to relate the entire hadith sharif, the hadith which is well known to us, about the three people who will be the first to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. The person who had been blessed with ilm and knowledge, and the person who had been given wealth, and the person who had been blessed with that opportunity to give his life in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And these people who did not conduct themselves in dunya, in all these gifts Allah gave them, with ikhlas. Now they will be asked what you did. Each one will say, I did this and that and the other for the sake of deen. And he'll be told, you are lying. You did it for the sake of people. You did it for the sake of name and fame. And these will be the three people who will be thrown first in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. Now this is such a fundamental aspect. Take this out and everything is forget. Lifeless, it's gone in the negative end. So now just to understand what tazkiyah does. When tazkiyah comes in the heart and life of a person, what it does to bring this most fundamental aspect of ikhlas in his life. We have probably heard many times the incident of Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, the very great alim and a very great orator, and he once gave a lengthy bayan in the Jama Masjid of Delhi, thousands of people in the gathering, and now after the whole program was over and he's leaving, one person came and now he realized that this talk, this program is over, and he was now, came from far, feeling very, very sorry for himself, and Hazrat somehow came to know about it. He took him in and he sat and repeated the entire lengthy discourse, word, whatever he had said, in complete detail for the one person. Somebody asked him about it. So he said, initially also, when there was a gathering of thousands, it was for one. And with one person in front also, it was for one Allah. Now one is, you missed the bayan, so come sit down and give him a summary of it and get done with it. But he saw this person's talab, this person's zeal. He says, no, this has to be, now he came, he's one, but for the same one Allah. Now this came from where? It comes from the purification of the heart, that this ghairullah is all washed out and there's only Allah in the heart. And now when there's only Allah in the heart, then that drives a person to do everything for Allah alone. And otherwise, other motives start creeping in. So this is the issue of what tazkiyah does, that it transforms a person's niyat and it brings him to the reality that everything should be done for one Allah. Tazkiyah is what brings a person to keep being afraid. He never becomes proud. He never becomes a person filled with ujb and vanity and looking at his achievements and whatever. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Kandelvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was on his deathbed, we can call it, in the last days of his life. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had come to visit him, but initially he was not allowed because the doctors had forbidden any visits. Somehow Hazrat came to know that Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib has come to visit him. So he insisted, call him in now. So they called him in, he came after the greeting and so on. So he said, look, I am very afraid that this work has, mashallah, spread far and wide, and so many people are coming in their numbers. But is this istidraj? Is it istidraj that is this some, just given, I'm being given some rope and respite from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, let him run, but soon we'll just pull the rope and everything will just shatter. Where this, a person who is far away from deen, an irreligious person, is sometimes allowed to run. But he's got nothing to do with deen. He's maybe in dunya, maybe in the outwardly in the work of deen also, but he's allowed to run. But that is Allah Ta'ala's respite, because he's far away from Allah Ta'ala. But that is to catch him to a greater extent. Now subhanallah, he is there seated and in these last days of life, and looking at subhanallah, the work having spread far and wide, his heart is trembling. That is this istidraj. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah said, no, it cannot, it's not istidraj. So he didn't just accept it and say, well, okay, fine, if you are saying so. He said, well, how can you make this claim? On what basis you can say it? There's not istidraj. He says, I have dalil for it. What dalil you have for it? He says, in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We'll give them respite in a way they won't even realize it. You are afraid that is this respite. And is this just giving rope? The fact that you are afraid of it is a dalil that you are not being given istidraj. This is rather ghaybi nusrat. This is the unseen help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's help has come. This is the reason things are, alhamdulillah, now moving forward. But the lesson in this, this was that company of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharampuri rahmatullah alayhi, and that tazkiyah and that purification, inner purification, that in that last moments also, there's no pride, there's nothing about achievements, there's fear. Will this be accepted? Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Mahmud Hassan Deobandi rahmatullah alayhi, he was imprisoned in Malta by the British for, on the charge of treason, whatever. And now they were there for a long time in very harsh conditions, many others with him. And then one day there was this rumor that they are going to be executed. It was a rumor. So now suddenly the Sati saw him sitting quietly in one corner in a lot of grief, sort of deep thought. So some felt that perhaps this news that has come, which was a rumor, they only got to know later, perhaps this has grieved him. So in order to sort of raise his spirit, somebody said, but after all, this is what we were aspiring for. Now we are going to be given shahadat. So his response was, this is not what I am feeling down about or in this deep concern about. The concern is all this qurbani that was made, will it be accepted by Allah Ta'ala? The time has now come to meet Allah Ta'ala. Will this be accepted or will get rejected? Now where this comes from, these were people who had purified themselves. And this inner purification made them think in this way, be deeply concerned in that way. The time has already run out, but their incidents are so many that what really, it's hard to imagine, subhanallah, what level the, maybe just to take one more example, we just spoke about Hazrat Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayhi. One sahabi once came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something in deen, something very concise. I shouldn't have any need to ask anybody thereafter. After all, what a question he asked. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the answer. Allah had blessed him with being jawami'ul kalim. He said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. The greatest karamat, greater than 1,000 and 1,000,000 karamats, is istiqamat. Istiqamat on deen. Now this is the aspect of istiqamat. Oh, akabir, subhanallah. Hazrat Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, 22 years didn't miss takbir ula. Istiqamat. Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharampuri, rahmatullah alayhi, once while making wuzu, suddenly he realized now there's some, his gums were bleeding or something happened. So now trying to stem this, but time was passing. Eventually he told everybody, please continue, I'm going to delay everybody's salah. And that was the day thereafter they saw him sitting in a lot of grief. I said, Mahadat, what happened? He said, today because of this, after 6 years, I missed my Takbir-e-Ula. So in any case, Shaykh ul-Hind, rahmatullah alayhi, while he was imprisoned in Malta, the day of Jumu'ah used to come. Now, it was not possible to perform Jumu'ah in that prison cell because the conditions did not prevail. But there are so many a'mal of Jumu'ah, special virtues for those various a'mal and the various sunnats of Jumu'ah. Every Friday would come, and this continued for that entire duration of almost 3 years or more. On the day of Jumu'ah, he'll take a ghusl, put on his clean clothes, fulfill all the sunnats of Jumu'ah, the a'mal of Jumu'ah, the abundant Durood Sharif, recitation of Suratul Kahf, everything else. And then one of the things of Jumu'ah is fas'aw ila dhikrillah, to then rush towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's command. He would then walk from his spot to the cell, the door of the cell. Say, Allah, this is all I could do. I could come up to this point. Now it's closed, where do I go? And then he would come and perform his Zuhar Salah. Every Friday, come in, Friday out. But this never was left out. Now this is al-istiqamatu fawqa alfi karamatin. This is beyond 1,000 karamats. But mashallah, this came from where? That's the question. It came because these people dedicated themselves, together with everything else, to the very important task of tazkiyah. And this is what brought that passion of deen in their lives, the passion of serving deen. It brought that utmost humility. Their incidents of their tawazu, these whole kitabs, thick kitabs of the incidents of their humility and how they annihilated themselves. And in every aspect of deen, their mu'amalat, how clean and clear their mu'amalat were. How was their taluk with Allah Ta'ala, being concerned about every minute thing. The time has already passed, but there's so much more to say. Nevertheless, the point is, the issue is the lesson to take. The lesson is, we have to increase da'wat. Whatever is taking place is still far less. And we have to be part of it. And we have to increase the effort of ta'aleem as well. Those who are, mashallah, involved in ta'aleem, alhamdulillah, they are involved in it. Those of us who are not in the field of ta'aleem directly, we have to become part of it as well. By supporting it, by becoming those who are the helpers of the effort of ta'aleem as well. And likewise, each one of us, first and foremost myself, and each one of us has to make this a priority in our lives, make this one of the objectives, direct objectives, that I need to make the tazkiyah of my heart. Because Allah Ta'ala has hinged success on this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Those who make the tazkiyah of their heart, they will succeed. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept one and all. Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq that we become part of all these aspects of deen, all these efforts of deen. Allah Ta'ala bless us with this tazkiyah of the nufus as well. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ